नांगस्य वंशो राजर्षेर एष संस्थातुम अर्हति। नांगस्य वंशो राजर्षेर एष संस्थातुम अर्हति। अमोघ वीर्या हि नृपा वंशेऽस्मिन् केशवाश्रयः। लेडीज, नांगस्य वंशो राजर्षेर एष संस्थातुम अर्हति। अमोघ वीर्या हि नृपा वंशेऽस्मिन् केशवाश्रयः। नांगस्य वंशो राजर्षे वंशो राजर्षे एष संस्थातुम अर्हति। अमोघ वीर्या हि नृपा वंशेऽस्मिन् केशवाश्रयः। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन, प्लीज रिपीट। न, नॉट, अंगस्य ऑफ किंग अंग, वंशः फैमिली लाइन, राजरेशे ऑफ द सेंटली किंग, एष धिस संस्थातुम टू बी स्टॉप्ड, अर्हति ऑट, अमोघ विदाउट सीन पावरफुल, वीर्यः देयर सीमन, ही बिकॉज, नृपाः किंग्स, वंशे इन द फैमिली, अस्मिन् धिस केशव ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड, आश्रयः अंडर द शेल्टर। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस शिला भाई चरणा अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद। शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन, द सेजेस डिसाइडेड दैट द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ द फैमिली ऑफ द सेंटली किंग अंग शुड नॉट बी स्टॉप्ड, फॉर इन दिस फैमिली द सीमन वॉज वेरी पावरफुल एंड द चिल्ड्रन वेयर प्रोन टू बिकम डिवोटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड। Purport. The purity of hereditary succession is called Amogh Virya. The pious seminal succession in the twice born families of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas especially, as well as in the families of Vaishyas also, must be kept very pure by the observation of the purificatory processes, beginning with Garbhadhan Samskar, which is observed before conceiving a child. Unless this purificatory process is strictly observed, especially by the Brahmanas, the family descendants become impure and gradually sinful activities become visible in the family. Maharaj Anga was very pure because of the purification of semen in the family of Maharaj Dhruva. However, his semen became contaminated in association with his wife Sunita, who happened to be the daughter of death personified. Because of this polluted semen, King Vena was produced. This was a catastrophe in the family of Dhruva Maharaj. All the saintly persons and sages considered this point and they decided to take action in this matter as described in the following verses.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So in this particular story of King Vena, by the mercy of great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, we are learning many valuable lessons. As we know, King Vena, being very atrocious and demoniac king, the great sages, although they are not interested in political affairs, still, by seeing the situation, they interfered. And in order to set right the situation, by their power of the mantras, they killed King Vena. But that was not the end of the solution, because there has to be another king who will act as the protector and as a spiritual shelter giver to all the citizens of the kingdom, and there was none.
that time.
So all the great sages, they assembled together in order to find out what can be done so that people in general can be protected. Although they didn't want to take any further steps on themselves, they wanted to elect a wonderful king who will do the needful service to the people in general of protecting them and giving them spiritual enlightenment or atmosphere, etc. So they are deciding, the sages have decided that the descendants of the family of saintly King Anga should not be stopped. This was a decision which they sat together and took. And in the further verses we will exactly come to know what decision was taken and what they were doing. And especially today's verse, Srila Prabhupada is, without becoming tired, he is again emphasizing on a very valuable and important principle through this story. He is saying, Maharaj Anga was very pure because of the purification of semen in the family of Maharaj Dhruva. However, his semen became contaminated in association with his wife Sunitha, who happened to be the daughter of death personified. So this principle of purity is again and again stressed by Srila Prabhupada in his various purports and sections and discussions. We see many examples in the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam about this concept what is being talked here. We hear the story of Kashyapa and Diti and the birth of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Then we hear the story of Kashyapa and Aditi and the Supreme Personality of Godhead being born of them. Then we hear also story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. In the first place, they produce 9 daughters, and the next time the Supreme Lord was appearing. So these wonderful stories depict this wonderful principle of association. Here Prabhupada mentions his semen became contaminated in association with his wife Sunita, who happened to be the daughter of death personified. Of course, it's not very important that who is whose daughter or who is whose son. But in general, it matters a lot. But there are always exceptions, because scriptures are filled with exceptions. So what was the flaw with Sunitha, who is the wife? When we carefully study the example of Diti and Devahuti, when she approached for the first time to Kardama Muni for children, we saw that they were not properly motivated in their aspiration. They were directed by desire of lust. They were not directed by the desire to serve. And because of that, the progeny which was born was such, like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Because Kashyapa Muni there very specifically mentions to his wife, saying that you have approached me at a wrong time, with a wrong mentality. So although Kashyapa, no doubt he is a very pure-hearted person, still, just see what has happened. Great demons were born on the planet.
And similarly, when Devahuti, she expressed her desire to Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni fulfilled it, but the result of that fulfillment was birth of 9 daughters.
Jaya Shishi Krishna Balram, Shishi Radha Sham Sundar Lalita, Vishakha Devi, Shishi Gornita, Shila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.
So the result of such approach was not proper. So Devahuti, she although begot 9 daughters, but then she had the problem because Kardama Muni said that, okay, now I have given you children, so I want to go and perform my further spiritual duties. So he wanted to renounce his home and go. But then she said that, although you fulfilled my desire, but somehow or other I was blinded. I was not properly, taking advantage of your sangha. You are such a great saintly personality. But I was attracted to you materially. So because of that, 9 daughters are there, but they will get married and they will go away. What about me? I will be the single, alone. Who will give me protection? So then, Kardama Muni, very intelligently, he gave her the process by which she can purify her heart, her desires. And then, when they came together, the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally desired to appear, to fulfill the mission. Lord uses his devotees as a means to come to this world so that he can perform various responsibilities or various purposes which he wants to fulfill. Same thing, when Diti heard that her 2 sons are being killed because of Indra, she was very inimical in her heart. She wanted to kill Indra. And she approached her husband again with that mentality of producing some children who will kill Indra, because she was very upset that my sons were killed. Then understanding her mindset, Kashyapa Muni this time, he didn't just give away. He said, okay, you perform a special vrata, a special process by which your desire will be fulfilled. And he told her the process of 1 year purification, payovrat, where she was supposed to drink only milk and perform very severe austerities and perform the devotional service to the Lord. So after 1 year of intense practice, somehow or other there was one mistake which she did. And Indra was very curiously observing whether Diti is observing all the etiquettes of that process. So one mistake was there, and then Indra took the opportunity and entered inside the womb of Diti and started with his thunderbolt, he started killing the embryo within the womb of Diti. But when he started cutting them, they started becoming individual persons, individual childrens. He cut them into, I'm forgetting, 49, na? 7 into 7 parts. Yeah, 49 parts he made, that embryo he cut into 49 parts. Naturally a flesh who is very sensitive, if it is cut with a weapon, naturally there is no chance that it can survive. But then there were 49 parts, but all of them were children, and they started praying to Indra, saying that, oh Indra, please do not kill us. We are actually your followers. Like that. So, we hear such stories in Srimad Bhagavatam, depicting very wonderful and valuable principles. That how, when 2 individuals, they come together with the purpose of procreating a child, both of them need to be very, very properly situated in their consciousness and attitude so that a proper child will be born. It's not just one partner is enough who is rightly situated. No. That's why Prabhupada is talking about this Garbhadhan Samskar. Prabhupada says, the pious seminal succession in the twice-born families of the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas especially, as well as in the families of Vaishyas also, must be kept very pure by the observation of the purificatory processes beginning with Garbhadhan Samskar, which is observed before conceiving a child. Unless this purificatory process is strictly observed, especially by the Brahmanas, the family descendants become impure and gradually sinful activities become visible in the family. Because every devotee, he wants to see that his future children should be devotees. Who will not want? But then this process which has been given to us, Garbhadhan Sanskar, has to be very strictly observed. And what brings the purity in the process is the consciousness or the attitude with which a particular act is being performed. Unless there is a deep service mood, a pure soul will not be attracted inside the womb. Whatever is consciousness or whatever is the attitude while coming together, that will attract a particular soul to enter. Nowadays, most of the times the parents, they don't know that now they are becoming father or they are becoming mother. They get a surprise news. Oh, no, I am going to become a father or I am going to become a mother. This is the current situation. So, naturally, when such a thing is there, surely pure souls will not come. They will not be attracted to come. Krishna will not arrange them to come. So, very important is the purity of the purpose, which actually makes the act spiritual and beneficial for one and all. Otherwise, it's very difficult. The situation will, you know, then one has nothing to do much. Although one may try to give Krishna consciousness to such a soul, surely that soul, today or tomorrow, he will start showing his colors. He will start, because it's just a body which needs to grow for one to exhibit desires. When the body grows to a particular state, particular phase, naturally one starts exhibiting his desires, whatever he has got or cultivated from his previous life. One naturally exhibits them. So it's very vital and important aspect. What to speak of just Garbhadhan Sanskar, but it's in general. This principle of service mood is what actually inoculates a person from being material. Otherwise, every activity in connection to Krishna can become powerless if this inoculation is not there. Although it's service to Krishna. We hear glories of service to Krishna so many times in the scriptures. It is vividly explained that service to Krishna is very powerful, is purifying, intensely purifying, like Srimad Bhagavatam, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is very purifying to one's heart and conducive for developing the spiritual aspirations. But it becomes powerless when the attitude is not correct. Attitude has to be very clear. The heart of a person should be in the mood to serve. Then Krishna empowers that activity to be spiritual, that activity to be potent enough to purify the heart of the practitioner. So this inoculation is not kept, then although one may render devotional service, it will take long, long time. I don't know, maybe lifetimes also. for one to actually purify heart. Purification of heart means it's nothing very mysterious idea. Purification of heart is just changing the motivations or aspirations. As Prabhupada mentions, that living entity, when he comes into this material world, he wants to become God or he wants to become enjoyer. That's why he comes. But when he decides to become servant, when he decides that I want to serve Krishna, I want to please Krishna, then he is eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Why he should be here? Because he is desiring simply to please Krishna, simply to serve Krishna. So that's it. It's not a very mysterious thing that something happens in the heart. It's just the quality of desire and aspiration which changes. And then Krishna reveals his eternal service to that individual devotee. As Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu elaborately explains this concept of bhava-bhakti and prem-bhakti and other aspects. This is revealed by the Supreme Lord in the heart when one grows more and more and more in his purifying his desires and attitudes. So this is what inoculates a person. Very wonderful example is given. When we prepare a sweet rice, it's very nectarian, especially condensed sweet rice, which has a tinge of yellowish saffron color. It's very nectarian to even hear of, what to speak of, taste it. But just imagine if some few sand particles are put in that. Will you enjoy that sweet rice? Although it's very nectarian. But then there are sand particles. If you take a spoon and put it, sand particles come in your mouth, you'll feel distasteful. What is this? This sand is coming. The whole, that relishment of the sweet rice will be gone. One will think about that particle only. You will not think about the rest of the sweet rice. Why this particle is there? It's just, spoiling the whole thing. So nectarian, sweet rice. But that's what happens to our devotional service when we keep any other motivations other than simply to please Krishna. Our service is like a sweet rice. We are offering to Krishna. But then when we are offering, what we do? We are putting sand particles in that and telling Krishna, please enjoy, it's very wonderful. I made it with so much efforts I did. So much hard work. Day and night I worked hard for this. And this is an offering, please take it. And when Krishna will take that with the sand particles in it, he'll say, come on, what you are offering me? It's not good. It's not pleasure giving. So, when we render devotional service, it should be rendered with an exclusive desire to please Krishna, to give pleasure and happiness to Krishna. If any other thing is aspired, it's like adding sand particles in the sweet rice. Krishna will not like it. And then such a sweet rice is unliked by Krishna. Naturally, such a service rendered will not bring the exact purification which is expected. The purification level will go down. In fact, the other motivations, because we are feeding them, they will increase all the more. We have an experience. If you feed somebody regularly, he becomes stouter and stouter. So, if we are feeding everyday basis other motivations, what will happen? Other motivations will grow more fatter, and devotional service, devotional creeper, Bhakti Lata Beej will remain thinner and thinner. Although so much water is being poured, but weeds are there, other grass and other things, unwanted creepers or trees, they are sucking the whole water. And devotional service, Lata is, very feeble, very weak. So what nourishes the devotional creeper is the service mood, is the desire to please the Lord. So that is purity which is being talked about. The purity of hereditary succession. It's nothing very mysterious that how a semen is a pure thing. What is actually the mystery behind purity of the semen is the purity of the attitude, the consciousness of a person. That's what actually brings. Prabhupada, very beautiful line he makes in the yesterday's purport. Just I would like to read that. It says, the saintly persons considered very wisely that although King Vena was very sinful, he was born in the family descending from Dhruva Maharaj. Therefore, the semen in the family must be protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Keshava. So, when that's the promise the Lord gave to Prahlad Maharaj also, in the form of Lord Narasingadev, that both of your seven generations will be delivered. So, this statement of Prabhupada is confirming that one. The Supreme Lord personally protects the semen. In the sense, he personally protects the devotion of the devotees in the line. When such great personalities come. So Lord personally takes a responsibility to try to see to it that, you know, the purity is protected. The consciousness, the right consciousness is protected. Krishna personally sees to that. So this is what a devotee is striving for in his devotional efforts. That is what sadhana bhakti is all about. The more one is striving for service attitude, the more one's devotional service becomes potent. Otherwise, devotional service will be rendered, but it cannot be exactly in a strict terms of the definition called as devotional service. It may be categorized as a pious credit, because it is related to Lord. It's not related to anybody else. But when it comes to the strict terminology of devotional service, the most important aspect is devotion in that. Service is not the most important aspect. Devotion is the most important aspect. The mood of service is what very important. And that's what Prabhupada is hinting again here in this beautiful purport, that how the purity needs to be maintained. Similarly, for the devotees, when they are preaching, same principle applies. When they are preaching Krishna consciousness, they are also producing children. Not that only grihasthas produce children. Even brahmacharis and sannyasis produce children. Like Prabhupada, he used to say, that I left, you know, my small family, you know, having 2-3 children, but they were not very devoted. But I went to America, I preached there, and just see, now I have got so many children. So, anyone who is preaching is producing a child, a devotee child. So, that's also the similar concept. If a preacher is not in the mood to serve the parampara which he is representing, like Srila Prabhupada, he wrote such a beautiful poem when he was, you know, on Jaladuta, about to reach the Boston. He wrote very beautiful prayer, Markine Bhagavad Dharma. When we read that verse, a particular song written by Prabhupada, we understand how deeply Srila Prabhupada is in a humble mood of being the representative of his spiritual master. How intensely Prabhupada was praying that, you know, people call me Bhakti Vedant, but I don't know what is Bhakti, I don't know what is Vedant, what is Vedic literatures, but somehow other, you know, Krishna has made me to come here. I don't know what business he has for me here. This Western world, there is so much passion and ignorance is there. And I don't know how they will receive the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, whether they will understand also or not. They are completely in a different world. So he was begging, praying to Supreme Lord, to his spiritual master, to whole Guru Shishya Parampara. He was praying and begging that please, you know, make me a puppet, make me a doll in your hands and make me dance as you want me to dance. I have no capacity, I have no power by which I can transform anyone or, you know, bring, make someone devotee. But you empower my words in such a way that it will penetrate into their heart and it will bring out that Krishna consciousness which is inherent in everyone's heart. So Prabhupada was deeply humble and dependent on the mercy. And that's the mood of a preacher. If a preacher thinks, no, I am superior, I am better, I have a better knowledge to be given to the ignorant fools. If he thinks in that manner, he is a fool himself. He's becoming a disciple of his own pride. So that's not conducive for his devotional service. Although preaching is such a service which is kept or spoken high by the Supreme Lord himself. He says such a devotee who is, you know, giving this message to others, he is very dear to me, and no one will be as dear to me than anybody in the future also. So Krishna, you know, he embraces the preachers to his heart very much. But if the same person, he thinks that no, he is not acting in the capacity of a servant or representative of the whole parampara, but he has his own qualification why he is preaching, then he is disqualified. He will not get the mercy which one is actually supposed to get by performing that service. He will not get the purification as much as is expected. In fact, his pride will grow more and more and more. And it will be very difficult for him to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is putting the standard. What is the standard for a devotee, preacher? Because he is also producing children. So it's very important that one deeply practices or at least tries his level best to practice the service mood. That will be his protection. Otherwise, very difficult. One can become victim of illusory energy, Maya, very easily. Maya is very powerful. And she knows all the tricks, whatever is required, to stop a person from going towards Krishna. She is expert in putting hurdles and obstacles and difficulties. So, Srila Prabhupada, he is emphasizing on this aspect of purity very much in this particular purport. So thank you all very much for your kind attention. Is there any comments? Question?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for this nice class. Small thing which I've read from Srila Prabhupada's purport, and many times it is quoted, when somebody approaches Krishna with ulterior motives, Krishna says, this person is a fool, but I am intelligent, so Krishna purifies his heart if that person is very seriously performing devotional service. So even if a person is having ulterior motivations, like we see the example of Dhruva Maharaj, who was not even advised by Narad Muni to have a devotion, I mean not say devotional, to not have that material desire of gaining a big kingdom. Or Diti also was not advised by Kashyap to not have this desire of killing Indra. But we see in the course of devotional service, because they practice very intensely, they automatically got purified, because they are, it's like stool getting purified from sun, because stool is not on its own qualified, but by the power of sun, by the power of the holy name, by the power of association of devotees and the power of Krishna himself, we are coming in contact with Krishna in the devotional service, so we get purified. And as one nice comment by Srila Prabhupada, another purport, he says, our movement is meant for those people who have ulterior motivations, so that they can join and they can get purified. I'm paraphrasing, but this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I can give the reference later on. So I was thinking like that, if a person is intensely inspired to intensely perform devotional service, so even if he has ulterior motivations, which many of us had when we were joining, they'll get purified in due course of devotional service. That is all.
Yeah, very nice. Surely, Krishna consciousness is very powerful and has potency to purify anyone and everyone, provided he is very sincere. This is a basic qualification required for progressing in devotional service. One has to be very sincere in his approach to the practice of the process of devotional service. But when we have ulterior motivations, what happens is one is not very sincere because he has ulterior motivations. And because he is continuing the process of watering, what is happening is he is growing the other weeds more and more stronger. So imagine, you know, we have devotees who are doing some service of gardening and all. If you ask them, recently they came to Vani Ashram also, they were removing the weeds. They grew so much because since 15 days nobody came. So good amount of weeds were there. So, and took long time for them to remove them. So what happens, the more we extend to take care of the weeds, the more time one has to spend to remove the weeds. This we cannot cross, this stage we cannot cross. So therefore it is mentioned that from the beginning only we try to take care of our attitude and consciousness. No doubt, if one is wrongly motivated, we hear so many stories, success stories of people who came to Krishna consciousness with wrong motivations, but then became purified and grew in their spiritual life. But when we keep practicing ulterior motives, the process becomes elongated. The time for purification becomes more, means it requires more time, and struggle is also more. It's not that, okay, struggle is going to, the time is only increasing, struggle will not be increasing. No. Because the more one is practicing ulterior motivations, the more when he comes to the point that, okay, I don't want this now, I want to stop it. So when he comes to that point of trying to stop, it will be a great resistance because he has increased it. So that time to practice the process and purify the motivations becomes a more struggle. So many times it is spoken that we should not allow ulterior motivations to grow or to be practiced on a daily basis for this reason. Otherwise, one can practice, but then he should be ready for the next phase, that elaborate long time practice of the process to reduce the ulterior motivations and purify his attitude. That becomes a problem. That's why it is spoken in this manner, that we should try to take care that we are not ulterior in our motivations. We try to do it as a service. Otherwise, yes, Srila Prabhupada welcomes everyone. Everyone is, because this is a hospital. Who comes to the hospital? Only a diseased person, not a person who is hale and healthy. He will never go to a hospital. Only a diseased person comes to a hospital. So Prabhupada used to say that our temples are like hospitals. Who are diseased, they come here and get purified or get cured. That's why we are all here also, to get purified and cured of our disease, bhava rog. Everyone is contacted with that bhava rog. So thank you all very much.
I have a question. Samskara, we are in Kali Yuga, Garbhada Samskara or Hare Krishna Mahamantra in action?
Garbhadan Sanskar or Hare Krishna Mahamantra in action. Based on the today's purport, what Srila Prabhupada is talking about, it's very clear that Prabhupada wants his devotees to practice Garbhadan Sanskar. But the way the Garbhadan Sanskar is to be practiced is to be heard from the devotees, not the traditional Vedic system, which may have, I don't know personally, which may have many other things involved in it. But Srila Prabhupada has given for the devotees a system of Garbhadhan Sanskar, where they come, before coming together, they chant 50 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, both the husband and the wife. And with the divine purpose and consciousness and praying to the Lord to have a devotee child, they come together. Then Krishna sends wonderful souls into that family, which will increase the glory of that family. That's what Prabhupada has given us the program. He has not given any yajna or any tapasya or any kind of other things. He has given holy name only for purifying the consciousness. Thank you. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaur Premarande.
Krishna. Krishna Krishna Nang Kishina Hare 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 Yeah.
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Hare Krishna